Our scripture reading today is like a condensed version of the Bible. If you had to choose one passage that said most of what you needed to know about God, then this could be it. It has the manna from heaven. It has Jesus, Son of God. It has the Holy Spirit. It has a pointer to death and resurrection, to eternal life. It's all there in just 46 verses. This is a mighty text. The use of bread, the staple of most diets by Jesus, is deliberate because it points back to the time of Moses and it points forward to the Last Supper. I said earlier that I like bread. I love bread. Maybe a bit too much, as my waistline can testify to. I love brown bread, white bread, crusty bread, flat bread, bagels, cheesy bread, pita bread, and I consider myself a connoisseur of the buttery and rowie. In my humble opinion, the best butteries and rowies come from the Strathyla Bakery in Keith. And yes, they do rowies and butteries. Therefore, quashing the debate about what to call this northeast delicacy. Their rowies are deliciously crispy and their butteries are a divine squishiness. They also do a buttery bap, which makes a great sandwich. Anybody else salivating at the thought? Bread is a staple diet of the diet across the world. Wherever you go in the world, you will find bread. It may not look the same as we saw earlier or taste the same, but you will still find something that's called bread. Whenever we do our supermarket shop, inevitably we'll head at one point to the bread aisle where we can find a huge variety to choose from. My personal preference for an everyday bread for my morning toast is something oaty, but I'm not adverse to Warburton's, other brands available, White's Thick Slice Toasty, something I think Sarah and I would agree on. Most of us have somewhere in our house to store bread. Maybe it's a bread bin made of metal or wood. Or maybe you have a bread crock. But do any of you have a bread drawer? I only discovered the existence of such a thing this week when reading in preparation for this sermon. The article I was reading had a photograph of a kitchen drawer with a cover for storing bread. It was a thing of beauty. Why have I not known about a bread drawer before? Bread, a staple in our lives. Jesus, in today's rather long reading from John's Gospel, we hear him give that first I am statement. I am the bread of life, he tells those gathered around him. Last week we heard of the host knocking at his neighbour's door looking for bread. Well, today we have the role, Jesus taking on that role of being the bread. Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people who have just tracked him down after he'd taken himself off after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And the disciples had also just witnessed Jesus walk on water. And Jesus addresses the crowd with these words, I'm telling you the truth. You're looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted. Not because you understood my miracles. Do not work for food that spoils. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has put his mark of approval on him. So they asked him, what can we do in order to do what God wants us to do? And Jesus answered, what God wants you to do is believe in the one he has sent. Jesus seems irked that the people have come after him, looking for more bread, perhaps. He'd ensured they were fed yesterday. Were they expecting him to do it all over again? Instead, Jesus wants to give them food that lasts, food that won't go bad, not an endless buffet of fresh bread to feed their bodies. He is offering them himself as the spiritual food that will feed their souls. The crowd demand a sign in order that they might believe, as if the picnic the previous day and the walking on water wasn't enough. God gave their ancestors manna. What was Jesus going to do? I think they're pushing their luck. But Jesus is patient. What Moses gave the Israelites in the desert was not the bread of heaven. God gives the real bread of heaven. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them, and he goes on with a sermonette about being God's son. The crowds start grumbling. How can the son of Joseph and Mary be the son of God? And so Jesus tries again. Don't bicker among yourselves over me. You're not in charge here. The Father who sent me is in charge. He draws people to me. That's the only way you'll ever come. Only then do I do my work, putting people together, setting them on their feet, ready for the end. This is what the prophets meant when they wrote, and then they will all be personally taught by God. Anyone who has spent any time at all listening to the Father, really listening and therefore learning, comes to me to be taught personally, to see it with his own eyes, hear it with his own ears from me, since I have it firsthand from the Father. No one has seen the Father except the one who has his being alongside the Father, and you can see me. I'm telling you the most solemn and sober truth now. Whoever believes in me has real life, eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna bread in the desert and died, but now here is the bread that truly comes down out of heaven. Anyone eating this bread will not die ever. I am the bread, living bread. And who comes down out of heaven? Anyone who eats this bread will live and forever. The bread that I present to the world so that it can eat and live is myself, the flesh and blood self. That was from Eugene Peterson's The Message. I wonder if Jesus was deliberately trying to confuse his listeners. I am the bread of life, and you are to eat me. And if you do, you get eternal life. It's clear that many of those in the synagogue where he was teaching are finding this all difficult to understand. And there are more grumbles. But Jesus isn't finished yet. He pushes on with his teaching. Next up, we have the Holy Spirit. And we read in our Bible, does this make you want to give up? Suppose then that you should see the Son of Man go back up to the place where he was before. What gives life is God's Spirit. Human power is of no use at all. The words I've spoken to you bring God's life-giving Spirit, yet some of you do not believe. Jesus knew from the very beginning who were the ones that would not believe and which ones would betray him. And he added, this is the very reason I told you that no people can come to me unless the Father makes it possible for them to do so. And with that, many of Jesus' followers left. It was all too much. Had Jesus been trying to confuse people, or was this a test? The crowd had come looking for him, perhaps looking for a repeat of the previous day's events, and they didn't get what they expected. No more bread, but instead some hard words. Only the true believers remained. Perhaps he was separating the wheat from the chaff. Certainly, the 12 disciples had stayed, even after Jesus gives them an out. And you, would you also like to leave? That question stuck out to me. I'd never noticed before that Jesus offered his disciples the chance to go. And you, would you like to leave? Simon Peter goes to the top of the class when he answers for them all with an A-stark answer. Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. And now we believe and know you are the Holy One who comes from God. But Jesus isn't finished yet. I chose the 12 of you, didn't I? Yet one of you is a devil. He was talking about Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. For Judas, even though he was one of the 12 disciples, was going to betray him. Oh, Jesus, you didn't make it easy for them, did you? So what are we to make of all of this? Now, many of us here will have been on diets, currently on diets, most to lose weight, some to gain, some to fit around some health requirements, and some because you've chosen a diet out of some principle. Those of us who have been on diets to lose weight know that the best results don't come from crash diets, but by playing the long game, slowly but surely. It takes longer, but the results will last longer. Sadly, the best diet for losing weight for me personally is also the diet that has a limited amount of bread in it. No room for a crispy rowie from Keith. Far too many sins in that one. And some of you will understand the pun hidden in there. Jesus, in offering himself as the bread of life, is also offering a way of life, a diet. You could even call it rather cheesily the Jesus diet. A life of making healthy choices with guaranteed results, with our very own personal trainer helping us, guiding us, and getting us ready for the long game, for eternity. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty." Oh, that every diet offered that promise. One of my favourite sermon writers, as you may have realised, is Edward Marquardt. He just has a lovely way with words, and in his sermon on this passage, he wrote this: "When we absorb Christ into our daily lives, we take in the mind and heart of God, who loves all people as God's children. That is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means to have the Spirit of Jesus living inside you. It means to have the heart and mind of God living inside you. Jesus is the bread of life, and whoever eats of Christ will never hunger again. When we eat and absorb Jesus' words, Spirit, and love into our lives, Jesus lives in us, and we never die." Isn't that wonderful? Edward really is very good with words. And he goes on to say, Jesus is never just bread. Jesus is always the bread of life. As we consume physical bread, it gives us nourishment and energy for our physical lives. As we consume Jesus into our lives, his indwelling presence becomes a source for compassionate energy within our lives. He becomes the nourishment and energy for our spiritual, emotional, and moral lives. And so when we pray the words of the Lord's Prayer together, and we let the words trip off our tongues, give us this day our daily bread, there isn't there a prayer not just for ourselves, but for everyone to be fed. Fed with food for our bodies, and fed with food for our souls. As we sit here in church, Jam are getting ready to open their stall through in the hall, selling rice that will help educate a child that might otherwise not have been given the chance. By buying a bag or two of rice, you are sharing your Jesus-filled hearts with a neighbour far away. Someone for whom a Warburton's, other brands available, thick-sliced toasty might not be the form of bread that they are used to, but for whom Jesus, the bread of life, is the same Jesus, the bread of life, that we recognise. For some of our brothers and sisters in the world, their daily prayer for bread is just that, a basic want for a basic food. The world today seems short on love too. Too many people starved of love, and it's often those without bread that feel unloved by the rest of us. Surely there is enough of both to go round. Jesus, the bread of life, came for all of us. Verse 33 of our reading, "For the bread that God gives is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." To the world, not just a select few. Oh, for a world where all recognize the delicious taste of bread on their lips and the fullness of a life with Jesus, the living bread. Amen.